Our scripture reading this evening is Mark 4. This passage is available on your mobile bulletin on page 6 and will be projected on the screen behind me. Again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables, and in his teaching he said to them, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some of the seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth or soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. The other seeds fell in good soil, and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see, but not perceive, and they may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." And then he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a little while. Then, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among the thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those who were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. The word of the Lord.
Thank you, Phil. I appreciate it. Okay, kids, I had mentioned your Trinity Kids Bulletin. You can grab that now. And there's a spot on there to jot down these three things. So first, I want you to listen for an illustration about getting the wind knocked out of you. Secondly, I want you to be able, after the sermon, to answer this question. How many times does Jesus mention hearing in the passage? And then finally, an illustration about Super Bowl commercials. So getting the wind knocked out of you, how many times you hear Jesus mentioned hearing in the Super Bowl commercials. And if you want to, this is a fourth bonus here, draw pictures of these four soils that Jesus mentions, okay? So with that, let me pray for us as we come to this passage together. Father, we ask now that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts together would be pleasing in your sight. Oh Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Father, we are grateful that we don't come to this word alone, but that you promise that when your people gather around your word, you will accomplish by your spirit what you desire. And so, Father, we pray that you would. We pray that ultimately we would come to see Jesus, that we would behold him, that we would love him, that we would worship him, and we would do so out of a deep sense of his love for us. And we pray this all in his name. Amen. I caught Ocean's 11, the movie Ocean's 11 on TV last month, and I was reminded of how great a movie that is. And so if you've not seen it, it's 20 years old now. The remake is 20 years old. But it's a 2001 remake of a 1960 film. But it's all about this incredibly complex plot to rob a Las Vegas casino. And so there are 11 in this group, thus Ocean's 11, right, who put together this intricate plan. And what's so important about this plan is that every single person knows, understands, and hears very clearly exactly what their responsibility is. Because if anybody doesn't do that, if they mishear something, then the whole thing's going to fall apart. And so what ends up happening is in the midst of their plans, their leader, Danny Ocean, who's played by George Clooney, he gets flagged by casino security. And so what that means is that he can't go into the casino anymore. They're going to immediately kick him out. And so they've got to pull somebody else in to do what he was planning to do. And so the guy that they tap to do it is a guy named Linus. He's played by Matt Damon. And so he's this young, inexperienced, pretty nervous guy. And so there's this scene where Rusty, played by Brad Pitt, big names, right? Where Rusty is talking to Matt Damon about all that he needs to do and think about as he steps into this role. And so here's what he says. You look down, they know you're lying. You look up and they know you don't know the truth. Don't use seven words when four will do. Don't shift your weight. Look always at your mark, but don't stare. Be specific, but not memorable. Be funny, but don't make him laugh. He's got to like you and then forget you the moment you've left his side. And for goodness sake, whatever you do, don't, under any circumstances. And then right at that moment, somebody from the other room yells, "Hey, Rusty!" He says, "Yeah." He said, "Can you come here and look at this?" He said, "Yeah, I'll be there in a minute." And he walks away without finishing that sentence. And so Linus is left hanging there, not having heard the most important thing that he needs to hear. And of course, they never circle back in the movie. You have no idea what it was that he didn't hear. So, okay, I mentioned that because in that case, that the problem wasn't with the hearer, but it was with the speaker. But all of us have been in situations where you miss something that is really, really important to hear because you were too distracted to hear it. And I mention that because I think there's a similar danger when it comes to how we respond to Jesus and his message. So what we get in this passage is Jesus explaining how the kingdom of God comes in this world. And he says that it's through the hearing of the word. And so here's what we need to understand. It's not an overstatement to say that this is literally the most important message that anybody could ever hear. In other words, it is not something that you want to miss. And yet, if you've been with us in previous weeks, we actually looked at this last week and in previous chapters in Mark, there are a whole lot of people in Jesus' audience who do miss it. And so here's the question. Why is it that some people hear and respond to Jesus' message and others don't? And that's the question that Jesus answers in this particular parable. Here's the thing, though. It's not just some explanation as to what's going on in Jesus' ministry at that time. It's also, it comes to us as a question and really as a challenge. And the question is this. Have you genuinely heard the message of the King? Have you genuinely heard and understood this word of the King? And so the way that that question comes to us is through this parable. And we're moving into a couple of weeks now where we'll be looking at parables, and so it's worth saying a little bit about them. There are a lot of times where parables are not always that easy to understand. They make us uncomfortable sometimes, and they sort of catch us off guard, and most of the time, that's exactly what they're supposed to do. And so, kids, have you ever been on a playground before, and maybe you're playing with a basketball or something like that, and somebody throws you the ball, you're looking the other way, and it hits you right in the stomach, and it knocks the wind out of you because you didn't even see it coming? That is sort of what parables are supposed to do. They're intended to get a response from us. And so in this case, what Jesus wants to do is he wants us to reconsider our lives in light of the coming of his kingdom. He wants us to hear and to accept his word. And so the question again that I want you to keep in mind as we make our way through this passage is this. Have I really heard and accepted the word of this King? Have I really heard and accepted Jesus' words? So the way I want to frame it is by asking and answering these three questions. First, what does the King want us to hear? Secondly, what keeps us from hearing the word of the King? And then thirdly, how can we rightly hear the word of the King? So first, what does Jesus want us to hear? So if you look back at verse 3, Jesus begins with a command. He tells us to listen. And then he goes on to give this parable, and the parable itself is simple enough. You've got this farmer who goes out sowing. This is the way that a farmer would have done this, and he's scattering the seed. He's tossing it around, and this seed falls on different surfaces. The first falls on this path, and immediately it's devoured by birds. Others of it falls on this rocky soil, and it springs up pretty quickly. Things look good initially. The sun comes out, though, and scorches it, and that seed dies. Other parts of the seed falls on thorns, and as the seed begins to grow, the problem is that the thorns begin to grow as well, and the thorns then choke out this growth, and nothing is produced. And then the fourth soil, though, is this good soil. And Jesus says that it produces this massive harvest of grain. And so for Jesus' original hearers, this would have been just a normal, obvious illustration to them. But here's the thing, there are a couple of unique things about this parable. And one is this, Jesus actually gives us an explanation of it. He interprets this parable for us, which is actually really important because otherwise we wouldn't know what we're supposed to see in this. At the heart of this, of his interpretation, the key to understanding this parable is verse 14. And he says this, "The sower sows the word." Okay, so why is that so important? Well, it's so important because it answers that fundamental question of how the kingdom comes. So Jesus says in verse 11 that this secret of the kingdom of God has now been revealed, and that he is the one who has brought it in his person and ministry. So the kingdom comes through the word of the king. And so that actually leads to the second reason this parable is unique, and it's this. This parable is in some ways the most important parable. Why do we say that? Well, because it tells us how the rest of Jesus' parables work. Look what he says in verse 13. And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?" In other words, you've got to understand that the kingdom comes through the word in order to rightly understand these other parables that he's going to speak. Here's the big question that you might be wondering. What is this word, right? If it's so important to Jesus that this is the way in which the kingdom comes, what is this word that he's talking about? I think it's tempting when we hear word to immediately equate that with the Bible, right? And there are some who've understood this parable to be teaching that. I think, though, it's more accurate to say that word here refers to Jesus' good news or his gospel announcement of the kingdom. And it's that same message that he's been proclaiming since the very beginning of his ministry, all the way back in chapter 1. Here's what he says there in chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. He says, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." So what is then that this gospel or this good news of the kingdom, that this word that Jesus is proclaiming? So here's what I think we need to do. I want to back up in order to answer that. And first, we need to understand some of what Jesus says or what he means when he says the kingdom of God. And here's why I think that's important. Because I think if you were to ask people, what is the gospel? Most likely what you would hear is something like, well, it's the good news of how Jesus has saved us through his death and resurrection. And that would be absolutely right. That is a correct answer. But you probably wouldn't hear anything about the kingdom of God, right? And so it's really interesting that Jesus says that the kingdom of God is actually at the heart of this good news. So what's he getting at? What is this kingdom of God? Well, most basically, the kingdom of God is the restoration of the rule and reign of God in this world. And here's why that's important. Because going all the way back to the beginning of the Bible, Adam and Eve, in Genesis 3, in their sin, reject God as their king. And so they've done away with him as king and want nothing to do with him. And so God, in his grace even at that moment, promises to return. And he promises to reestablish his kingdom in this world. And so the entire Old Testament is full of people who were longing for God to return as king. And the reason that was their hope is because they knew that when God returned as king, the world would be made right again. And so here's what Jesus is saying. He's saying that king and that kingdom that you've been longing for, that rescue, the king who's going to rescue you and restore what's broken in this world, that kingdom is here now. Because I, as the true king, am here. So that's the word that Jesus is talking about. And it's the word that he wants us to hear. Okay, so what does that mean for us? Well, it means a number of things, but here's what I want to point out. What this means is that the kingdom comes by the word and not by any other way. And so we're going to talk about this in the next couple of weeks as we look at some of the parables later on in chapter 4. I just want to mention this now. You can't have the kingdom without the king and his word. There's a great podcast that I've listened to the last few years. It's called This Cultural Moment. And so there are two pastors that do it. John Mark Comer and Mark Sayers. And basically what they're doing is talking about what ministry looks like in the 21st century. One of the ways that they describe that the longing of our world is really as a longing for the kingdom without the king. And that makes a whole lot of sense. You think about this. We want the welcome. We want the wholeness. We want the forgiveness. We want the peace. We want the joy. We want the feasting that characterizes the kingdom of God, but we don't want the king. And so part of what Jesus is saying in this parable is that that's not possible. The kingdom comes only through the word of the king. So you can't have the kingdom without the king. So that's the word of the king that Jesus is calling us to hear and to believe in this parable. Secondly, though, what keeps us from hearing that word? And so he mentions hearing 8 different times. Kids, you might want to remember that. 8 different times. And so his overall point here is that he wants us to hear this and that you've got to respond in some way. There are some who are going to rightly hear the word, but then there are also these ways that people are going to fail to hear his word. And so this comes as a warning to us. And that's actually what Jesus is getting at in verse 12, where he says this, that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand. Now, what he's doing there is he's actually quoting Isaiah 6, and he's telling us a couple of things. One, he's saying he is a prophet, that Jesus is a prophet, and you need to hear his message as coming from a prophet. But the other thing that he's saying with that quote is that it's a warning to say, don't reject the word of this prophet like Israel rejected the word of Isaiah and the other prophets. And he goes from there to describe these 3 ways that we might be tempted to reject the word of the king. And what I want you to see here is that in each of these cases, the hearing depends on the condition of the soil. So the sower is the same. The seed in each of these cases is also the same. The soil differs. So let's look at the first of these 3 soils. The first is this. It's the soil, the hard soil that falls on the path. And so the picture you get of this soil that is the path is that of a hard heart. It's the heart of a person who has technically heard this word on some level, but pretty much remains indifferent to it. So the word in this case never takes root in the soil of that person's heart. And what Jesus says is actually happening in that case is that Satan takes advantage of that person's hard heart and snatches that seed before it even goes into the soil. So the question then is, what's the warning here? I'm going to mention a couple of things. The first is this. Beware of your indifference to the word of the kingdom. Beware of your indifference. Now, I say that because it can seem like it's not that big of a deal, really, to be indifferent towards his word. And you might think that because you go, well, it's not like I'm angry about it, right? Or it's not like I'm outright opposing it or rejecting this word. But what Jesus says here is that to be indifferent to his word is actually to reject his word. And so it's much more dangerous than it first seems to be. That's the first thing that we need to be warned of. The second is this. You've got to recognize that you have an enemy, and that enemy is actually the enemy, and that enemy is actively working against Jesus' ministry of the word, that he really doesn't want anything more than to stop you from hearing his word rightly. He's actively opposing that. So that's the first response. I notice, though, in these next 2 soils, that it's not just an initial hearing of this gospel that Jesus mentions. What he mentions in the second and third soils is something about an ongoing response. And so part of what that means is that this parable has something to say to every single person in here. And that's true whether you are here this afternoon and you are not yet a Christian, or whether you're here this afternoon as one who's been a Christian for the whole of your life. So let's look at these second and third soils. The second soil is a rocky soil. So verse 16 says that these are those who hear the word and they initially receive it with joy. So the initial response is a really great one, that things look really good. But it says what begins to happen, though, is that sometime of hardship Or sometime a persecution comes and immediately that person falls away. These bad things happen, joy ceases, and you're done. Okay, so what might this look like? Well, you're initially overwhelmed with joy in the gospel. And of course, this happens to a whole lot of new Christians. This was definitely my story. You experience this new life that Jesus offers, and you are so, so excited about it. But then what happens is that you start to face the reality of following Jesus, and he calls you to turn away from your sin in certain instances. And so, for example, you're then faced with the decision to continue to engage in those sort of questionable business practices that your boss wants you to, or you're going to have to say no and suffer the consequences for it. Or maybe you start to realize that the implications for following Jesus in your romantic relationship. And you start asking yourself this question: is this really worth it? And because there's no real root to your faith, it withers and it dies. That's the second soil. That's what Jesus is talking about with this rocky soil. Third is this soil that he says is overrun with thorns. So if the rocky soil results in a person falling away because of hard things, the thorns represent somebody falling away because of pleasurable things. So what Jesus says about this person is that this person hears the word, but then he says, as the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires of other things arise, it chokes out that faith. And so I want to slow down a bit here because I could be projecting, but what I think is that for us, this, of these first three soils, is the one that's most dangerous. And why would I say that? Well, I say that because relative to the church in history, and really even relative to the church around the world right now, we are so inundated with opportunities and possibilities for things of pleasure. The opportunities that we have to get something that we want immediately, thanks to Amazon and the phone in your pocket right now, is literally unparalleled in history. And the thing about that is that these possibilities also are endlessly competing for our attention. So what's going to happen here after we leave this evening is that many of you, are immediately going to turn on the Super Bowl and you're going to cheer for the team that the Lord wants to win, which is the Chiefs, right? And what's going to happen is that there are going to be companies who are spending $5.6 million for 30 seconds of your attention. And what they're going to do is they're going to do a phenomenal job of appealing to your most basic wants and desires. And I want you to think for a minute just about how subtly this happens. So what happens is you see these opportunities for pleasure, for money, or for more of something, and you start asking yourself, like, why wouldn't God want me to have this? Why would he tell me that I can't do whatever I want with my body with another person? Or why would he tell me not to do whatever feels good? And the result then is that those are the cares that choke out the fruit of our lives. And so you don't have to be outwardly anti-Jesus in order to find yourself in this situation. All you have to do is just start loving your stuff more than you love him. And so these are the ways that we can fail to hear Jesus. But what he gives us in this final instance is a soil that shows how we can rightly hear the word. So thirdly and finally, how can we rightly hear the word of the king? We see this in the third soil. I want you to listen to how Jesus describes this soil. Verse 20. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. So here's what I want you to notice about this final soil. I want you to notice the long-term character of this kind of faith. See, this person with the good soil no doubt faced times of testing, just like the person in the rocky soil, right? They faced the temptations towards the cares and the riches and the pleasures of the world, just like the soil with the thorns. So what's the difference? The difference is that this person holds fast to the word. What this person does is cling to this gospel message. And as we've said, that response has everything to do with the condition of a person's heart. And so here's the real question that we're driving at and that this parable drives at. How do we cultivate a receptive heart? And I want to answer that in a couple ways. The first way, on the one hand, is to say, well, we can't. You can't make yourself have this sort of soft, receptive heart all on your own. Why not? Because it's a work that God must do. God is the only one who can actually change our hearts in a way so that we would rightly receive his word. And here's what's interesting. That's actually the core part of this promise of the new covenant that God makes in Ezekiel 36. Here's what he says there. I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. So what can we do then in that instance? Well, what we can do is ask God to give us soft hearts. Hearts that are sensitive to his word. Hearts that have a real awareness of our own sin in our lives. Hearts that long for more of Jesus and long to love our neighbors and see our neighbors come to know Jesus. So that's one thing that we can do. We can ask God to give us these soft hearts. But secondly, Jesus also wants us to cultivate these sorts of hearts. So what are ways that we could actually do that? I just want to suggest one, and it's this. It's by taking confessing our sins seriously. By taking confession seriously. And I say this because you and I have an almost endless ability to justify our own actions. And so what we have to do is to consciously fight that temptation. And so part of what that means is that you and I cannot let sin go unchecked in our lives. Do not downplay it. Do not explain it away. Don't excuse the small things. Why not? Because that's actually the way that the hardening of our hearts begins. It doesn't come in the one big decision, the one big mistake, the one big sin. Instead, the way it comes is the accumulation of the thousand small decisions, the thousands of these very small, seemingly inconsequential, insignificant sins. And then one day you look up and you're in a place that you never expected to be. And your heart is in a state that you never expected it to be. And so what I want to encourage you to do is to take seriously the opportunities that you already have to confess your sins. One of those ways is right here every single week as we confess our sins corporately. Take this time seriously, and I want you to take just as seriously these words of forgiveness that I speak every single week. The other thing that you can do is to confess your sins privately during the week using the Daily Prayer Project prayer guide. There are set times of confession in there. Avail yourselves to those. Final thing I'd say is that you need to find somebody, a close friend, maybe a family member, to whom you can confess your sins. Somebody is going to hear your confession, and not only hear it, but also point you to the grace of the gospel that is yours in Jesus. We need that sort of confession. That could be somebody in your community group, could be somebody, just another friend from here. Find somebody. So that's one way that we can actively cultivate this heart of the good soil. So let me do this. I want to close with some encouragement. There are some who read this parable, I think, wrongly, and think that the word is only going to have a 25% success rate. Because Jesus mentions three of these soils where there's not a positive response, and only one where there is. That's not actually what the parable says if you read it closely. There are no percentages or proportions given here. The only numbers that are given are the numbers of the sort of fruit produced by the word in the good soil. 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. And the reason I mention that now is because to come asking Jesus to give you ears to hear his word, or to give you a heart that's receptive, is a prayer that he absolutely loves to answer. And it's the kind of prayer that he will answer and produce that kind of fruit in your life. How can you be sure of that? You could be sure of that, ultimately, Because this is the same king who died for you and rose for you. And it's his resurrection, that same resurrection, that guarantees that he will accomplish his kingdom purposes in the world. And so what that means is that that's what he offers you here today. That love, that grace, that mercy that he alone as king can give to you. And so the question then is, how will you respond to the word of this king? Let me pray for us. Father, we take comfort knowing that you will accomplish your kingdom purposes in our lives and in this world. And so, Father, we pray that for each of us here, that you would make our hearts soft and receptive to your word. Or that we might hear your word, that we might accept it, and that we might bear fruit as you call us to. And that we would do that by your grace. And so, Father, we thank you for your work in our lives by your Spirit. And then we pray that we would see more and more of that. And we pray in Christ's name, amen.